Or Gosset on May 11th, 1992. It is now approximately 5 in the afternoon, and this is tape 3 regarding silent weapons for silent or quiet wars. We were speaking on the application of energy sources, and we were referring to the consent and whether or not it needs to be continued. You see, once they have control, you no longer need the consent. And I believe that we were just saying, or reading, until such energy dominance is absolutely established, the consent of people to labor and let others handle their affairs must be taken into consideration, since failure to do so could cause the people to interfere in the final transfer of energy sources to the control of the elite. And I believe that's where we had to change the tape. It is essential to recognize that at this time, public consent is still an essential key to the release of energy in the process of economic amplification. Well, I want to tell you that that no longer holds true. That was true when this was written. That is no longer true. You have passed that threshold. They have said here that consent is an energy release mechanism, and it needs to be considered, and I agree, it must be considered, but you will find that that it's only in the game playing, because they have already, as I say, passed over that threshold where you will tolerate without your consent. So let's look at logistics. The successful application of a strategy, and forgive the hoarseness of the voice, I had a 5-hour meeting yesterday without break, and it takes its toll on my speaker's vocal cords. Successful application of a strategy requires a careful study of inputs, outputs, the strategy connecting the inputs and the outputs, and the available energy sources to fuel the strategy. And this study is called logistics. A logistical problem is studied at the elementary level first, and then levels of greater complexity are studied as a synthesis of elementary factors. This means that a given system is analyzed, that is, it's broken down into its subsystems, and these in turn are analyzed until by this process one arrives at the logistical atom, the central, the little atom, the individual. This is where the process of synthesis properly begins, and at the time of the birth of the individual must it begin. So let's look at what we'll call the artificial womb. From the time a person leaves its mother's womb, its every effort is directed toward building, maintaining, and withdrawing into artificial wombs various sorts of substitute protective devices or shells. The objective of these artificial wombs is to provide a stable environment for both stable and unstable activity, to provide a shelter for the evolutionary processes of growth and maturity. That is, survival, always survival. To provide security for freedom, and to provide defensive protection for offensive activity. This is equally true of both the general public and the elite. However, there is a definite difference in the way each of these classes go about the solution to the problems. The political structure of a nation must be considered, and we'll start with dependency. The primary reason why the individual citizens of a country create a political structure is a subconscious wish or desire, if you will, to perpetuate their own dependency relationship of childhood. You know, parent to child. Child who depend upon parent for its nurturing and its instructions. Simply put, they want a human God to eliminate all risk from their life. I want life and I want everything, but I don't want to take any risks. They want to be patted on the head. They want their bruises kissed. In other words, they want a chicken in every dinner table, in every pot on that table. They want their bodies clothed. They want someone to talk them into bed at night and tell them that everything will be okay and all right when they wake up in the morning. This is why one's thrust out at me continually as doom and gloom and bearer of bad tidings, because I tell you that you must awaken and assume responsibility, because you have been patted on the head and told everything is all right until your destruction. Do you see? The public demand is incredible. So the human God, the politician that is, meets incredibility with incredibility by promising the world and delivering nothing. So who is the bigger liar? The public or this Godfather? Well, of course, you blame the Godfather. He laughs at your gullibility. This public behavior is surrender born of fear. It's born of fear, laziness, and expediency. The easy way. Always the lustful, greedy, self-pleasure, luxurious easy way. And it's the basis of the welfare state as a strategic weapon. Trusting public. And this is what they think of you, precious ones. Those are their words. Useful against a disgusting public. Action offense. People want to be able to subdue and or kill other human beings which disturb their daily lives. But they don't want to have to cope with the moral and religious issues which such an overt act on their part might raise. Therefore, they assign this dirty work to others, including their own children, so as to keep the blood off their own hands. They rave about the humane treatment of animals and then sit down to a delicious hamburger from a whitewashed slaughterhouse down the street and out of their sight. But even more hypocritical, they pay taxes to finance a professional association of hitmen, collectively called politicians, and then complain about corruption in government. Responsibility. Again, most people want to be free to do things, to explore everything they want to do. But they're afraid to fail. You've been taught to fear failure. You spend billions of dollars. And yet failure means nothing except growing process, precious ones. But you're terrified of failure. Fear of failure is manifested in irresponsibility, and especially in delegating these personal responsibilities to others, where success is uncertain or carries possible or created liabilities even. But you'll insist on it. They want authority. The root word of authority being author. But they will not accept responsibility or liability. Do you hear me? They want authority, but they want it without any effort whatsoever. And no liability, no risk, and no responsibility. And so what? They hire politicians to face reality for them. Now isn't that making you feel secure? So let's kind of summarize this. The people hire the politicians so that the people can obtain security without having to manage it. So they can obtain action without thinking about it. Inflict theft, injury, and death upon others without having to contemplate either life or death. Avoid responsibility for their own intentions. Obtain the benefits of reality and science without exerting themselves in the discipline of facing or learning either of these things. Just use it. They give the politicians the power to create and manage a war machine to provide for the survival of the nation or this womb. and to prevent encroachment of anything upon the nation or the womb, to destroy the enemy who threatens this nation or your womb, destroy those citizens of their own country who do not conform for the sake of stability of the nation or your womb. Politicians hold many quasi-military jobs, the lowest being the police, which are simply soldiers, and then attorneys and the CPAs next, who are spies and saboteurs, and they're licensed to do it. Your CPAs have become simple conduits for turning you in, actually, to the IRS. This is an example. And they bring laws down on them if they don't qualify. Oh, you've come a long way, baby. And it ain't so good. And then you have the judges who shout orders and run the closed union military shop for whatever the market will bear. No justice, total injustice, set up by whatever the market will bear. The generals are the industrialists. The presidential level of commander-in-chief is shared by the international bankers. The people know that they have created this farce, and they know that they financed it with their own taxes, which represents consent. But they would rather knuckle under than appear to be the hypocrite. And that's where you are today. Only 40 years later. It's time for a little scare. You ought to be a little bit scared, people. You're there. And so what do we have? A nation becomes divided into two very distinct parts. A docile subnation and a political subnation. The political subnation remains attached to the docile subnation, tolerates it, and leeches its very substance until it grows strong enough to detach itself and devour its parent. And then you've got it all. So let's analyze this system a bit. In order to make meaningful computerized economic decisions about war, the primary economic flywheel, it is necessary to assign concrete logistical values to each element of the war structure, personnel and material alike. This process begins with a clear and candid description of the subsystems of such structure. So let's look at the draft as a military service. You've had a voluntary situation here for a little while, but in many ways, it has been just as efficient as would a draft. But because this was written back in 1947, we're going to discuss the draft, because they've had to find other ways to override this particular one issue, and they've done it, and they've done it remarkably well. And they can always call in the draft. This is by having all of your youngsters register and all the various and sundry little aspects offered to the youth to suck them in, not the least of which is pulling them into the CIA. Few efforts of human behavior modification are more remarkable or more effective than that of the socio-military institution known as the draft. You see, it is the mechanism, not the actual act. And you can get the mechanism going and call it anything you want. A primary purpose of a draft or other such institution is to instill, by intimidation, in the young males of a society the uncritical conviction that the government is omnipotent. And you saw it in action in Saudi Arabia, in the desert. He is soon taught that a prayer is very slow to reverse what a bullet can do in an instant. Thus, a man trained in a religious environment for 18 years of his life can, by this instrument of the government, be broken down, be purged of his fantasies and delusions in a matter of mere months. Once that conviction is instilled, all else becomes easy to instill. And you wave yellow flags, and you make heroes of them, and they will march off to their very death or to murder without batting an eye. And you run them through these testing situations until you can measure the exact amount of control you have over them. And you have total control over them. So the draft, which is a selective service, etc., not just that, you see, it is to draft into anything, is an institution of compulsory collective sacrifice and slavery devised by, why what? Well, usually the middle-aged, the elderly, and the politicians for the purpose of pressing the young men, and now women, into a situation where they can be brainwashed instantly. They have torn down all the other stable foundations of the society, from the family to religious foundation, what are they going into the military for these days? They volunteer in the thought that they will get a trade, or simply to take care of themselves rather than going on welfare or being in prison. And prison is another form of welfare to the underprivileged, drug-ridden communities, such as Los Angeles, Southeast LA, where a parent would rather have the child in a prison setting than off the streets, where he's bound to get killed. Well, the majority of this sort of thing comes from the father image, this warring, warrior image. This staunch, I will get my rights and I will protect you if it kills you type of attitude. This incredible, I am macho, I am man, I am God, I will decide what happens to you. And you will follow my rules because I now have the power to insist that you do so. I can even draft you into going and sending and you going off to your very death. And if you turn from the enemy fire, I have the right to kill you myself. And I can do it now with honor, without having to face my own conscience. And then you come to the factor of the mother. And when these things were written back in 1947, they are painfully obsolete this day. Everything has been accomplished in the family setting that has been desired to be accomplished. The man is absolutely stripped of his place of respect and honor. And the mother has taken on, quote, the pants of the family and moved out into the community, and she becomes the rule. And let me tell you that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And when you have lost the sensitivity and the nurturing, mothering instincts of the female who rocks that cradle, you have destroyed the world. But let's look and see what they said at that time about the factor of mother. The female element of human society is ruled by motion first and logic second. But you've mostly overcome it, you see. That is no longer true in your society. In the battle between logic and imagination, imagination will always win. Fantasy prevails, maternal instinct dominates, so that the child comes first and the future comes second. BS, no longer, precious ones. Even if a woman feels this way, she will hardly ever express it. And when she does express it, she is put down as a non-patriot, a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser, a sick mind. And she capitulates. It used to be that a woman with a newborn baby, as they say here, is too starry-eyed to give a wealthy man's cannon fodder or a cheap source of slave labor through her child. A woman must, however, be conditioned to accept the transition to reality when it comes, or sooner you are there. It has happened. As a transition becomes more difficult to manage, the family unit must be carefully disintegrated and state-controlled public education and state-operated child care centers must become more common and legally enforced so as to begin the detachment of the child from the mother and father at an earlier and earlier age. Tear up that family and you destroy the child. And I remind you, it only takes 3 generations. And you have 2 of them and the ability for the 3rd in the lapsed time since 1947. And then you can go right back to Jesse Jackson and the black children, the black youth. You are into the 3rd generation and it's all but done. So in addition to all of these other things, you will practice inoculation of behavioral drugs which will speed the transition for the child, and this becomes mandatory. But you better watch out. It says, caution. A woman's impulsive anger can override her fear. An irate woman's power must never be underestimated, and her power over a, and I quote this, pussy-whipped husband must likewise never be underestimated. Because remember, it got the women the vote in 1920. These are the words of the instructor to the student. Now let's look at factor junior. The emotional pressure for self-preservation during time of war and the self-serving attitude of the common herd that have an option to avoid the battlefield. If Junior can be persuaded to go, is all of the pressure finally necessary to propel Johnny off to war? This is constituted by quiet blackmailings, through threats, through intimidation, in other words, through illogical reasoning, but you see, son, no sacrifice, then no friends. And if you don't go, there'll be no glory, and neither will there be any girlfriends for you. So you can coerce him quite willingly to march off, to confront this created enemy. So let's look at sister back then. It no longer holds true for sister. She marches right off to war and demands to be able to shoot someone also. But at that time, they looked at it this way. And let's see. She is given all the good things of life by her father and taught to expect the same from her future husband, regardless of the price. She expects to start out in a home the equivalent of the best that is available from that which she is accustomed to. And usually there is no young man that can provide that on his own. And therefore, he is expecting much sex. She uses that for a weapon. So you have the downfall emotionally and economically of the relationship before it can even be begun. So finally, to get around this, through the years of growth in this plan, marriage ceases to be important. Open and free sex is tolerated and promoted by the planners, disease becomes a major part of these trial relationships. And you have no foundation. And religion offers no solution for it, no stability for it. It simply now sanctions these ill behaviors by law, saying that you must accept these deviant behaviors. And by deviant, I do not even necessarily have to mean a term like abnormal. I'm talking about a deviant from the norm of a given time. And what was normal at that time, or normal in your time, are two different things. In 1947, behavior as is acceptable today and demanded by law today to be approved of and sanctioned and given equal place in your society was totally abhorrent, deviant behavior at the time this plan was begun. So they have already accomplished all of their plans. And let's see how they summed it up at the end of this little portion as a slap at you, because they knew in time it would come to be exactly according to the plan, and it has. And they say, those who will not use their brains, and that's most, are no better off than those who have no brains. And so this mindless school of jellyfish, father, mother, son, and daughter, become useful beasts of burden unto the elite. And so shall it come to be. Now I'm going to leave that document, because that was the introductory portion. And unfortunately, whether you ones like it or do not like it, it moves right off into the manifesto and the plan for control of the world. And it is written in many ways, in many places, and it's pretty succinct. I've given it to you many times, but I'm going to run through a little bit of a refresher very, very briefly on the other side of this tape, so that you can begin to compile their plan of taking control of your world. Measure it against this plan given to your surveillance intelligence crews to bring it into being and see where you are. You've had it. That's where you are. So please, I believe that we'll just turn this tape now while we're at a break point. Thank you. Orgos Hatton, May 11th, 1992. It is now approximately 5 in the afternoon, and this is tape 3 regarding silent weapons for silent or quiet wars. We were speaking on the application of energy sources, and we were referring to the consent and whether or not it needs to be continued. You see, once they have control, you no longer need the consent, and I believe that we were just saying a reading, until such energy dominance is absolutely established, the consent of people to labor and let others handle their affairs must be taken into consideration, since failure to do so could cause the people to interfere in the final transfer of energy sources to the control of the elite. And I believe that's where we had to change the tape. It is essential to recognize that at this time, public consent is still an essential key to the release of energy in the process of economic amplification. Well, I want to tell you that that no longer holds true. That was true when this was written. That is no longer true. You have passed that threshold. They have said here that consent is an energy release mechanism, and it needs to be considered, and I agree, it must be considered, but you will find that that it's only in the game playing, because they have already, as I say, passed over that threshold where you will tolerate without your consent. So let's look at logistics. The successful application of a strategy, and forgive the hoarseness of the voice, I had a five-hour meeting yesterday without break, and it takes its toll on my speaker's vocal cords. Successful application of a strategy requires a careful study of inputs, outputs, the strategy connecting the inputs and the outputs, and the available energy sources to fuel the strategy. And this study is called logistics. A logistical problem is studied at the elementary level first, and then levels of greater complexity are studied as a synthesis of elementary factors. This means that a given system is analyzed, that is, it's broken down into its subsystems, and these in turn are analyzed until by this process one arrives at the logistical atom, the central, the little atom, the individual. This is where the process of synthesis properly begins, and at the time of the birth of the individual must it begin. So let's look at what we'll call the artificial womb. From the time a person leaves its mother's womb, its every effort is directed toward building, maintaining, and withdrawing into artificial wombs various sorts of substitute protective devices or shells. The objective of these artificial wombs is to provide a stable environment for both stable and unstable activity, to provide a shelter for the evolutionary processes of growth and maturity, that is, survival, always survival, to provide security for freedom, and to provide defensive protection for offensive activity. This is equally true of both the general public and the elite. However, there is a definite difference in the way each of these classes go about the solution to the problems. The political structure of a nation must be considered, and we'll start with dependency. The primary reason why the individual citizens of a country create a political structure is a subconscious wish or desire, if you will, to perpetuate their own dependency relationship of childhood. You know, parent to child, child to depend upon parent for its nurturing and its instructions. Simply put, they want a human God to eliminate all risk from their life. I want life and I want everything, but I don't want to take any risks. They want to be patted on the head. They want their bruises kissed. In other words, they want a chicken in every dinner table, in every pot on the table. They want their bodies clothed. They want someone to tuck them into bed at night and tell them that everything will be okay and all right when they wake up in the morning. This is why one's thrust out at me continually as doom and gloom and bearer of bad tidings, because I tell you that you must awaken and assume responsibility, because you have been patted on the head and told everything is all right until your destruction, do you see? Public demand is incredible. So the human God, the politician that is, meets incredibility with incredibility by promising the world and delivering nothing. So who is the bigger liar? The public or this godfather? Well, of course, you blame the godfather. He laughs at your gullibility. This public behavior is surrender born of fear. It's born of fear, laziness, and expediency. The easy way. Always the lustful, greedy, self-pleasure, luxurious easy way. And it's the basis of the welfare state as a strategic weapon. Trusting public. And this is what they think of you, precious ones. Those are their words. useful against a disgusting public. Action offense. Most people want to be able to subdue and or kill other human beings which disturb their daily lives. But they don't want to have to cope with the moral and religious issues which such an overt act on their part might raise. Therefore, they assign this dirty work to others, including their own children, so as to keep the blood off their own hands. They rave about the humane treatment of animals and then sit down to a delicious hamburger from a whitewashed slaughterhouse down the street and out of their sight. But even more hypocritical, they pay taxes to finance a professional association of hitmen, collectively called politicians, and then complain about corruption in government. Responsibility. Again, most people want to be free to do things, to explore everything they want to do. But they're afraid to fail. You've been taught to fear failure. You spend billions of dollars. And yet failure means nothing except growing process. Precious once. But you're terrified of failure. Fear of failure is manifested in irresponsibility, and especially in delegating these personal responsibilities to others, where success is uncertain, or carries possible or created liabilities even. But you'll insist on it. They want authority, the root word of authority being author. But they will not accept responsibility or liability. Do you hear me? They want authority, but they want it without any effort whatsoever, and no liability, no risk, and no responsibility. And so what? They hire politicians to face reality for them. Now, isn't that making you feel secure? So let's kind of summarize this. The people hire the politicians so that the people can obtain security without having to manage it. So they can obtain action without thinking about it. Inflict theft, injury, and death upon others without having to contemplate either life or death. Avoid responsibility for their own intentions. Obtain the benefits of reality and science without exerting themselves in the discipline of facing or learning either of these things. Just use it. They give the politicians the power to create and manage a war machine to provide for the survival of the nation or this womb, and to prevent encroachment of anything upon the nation or the womb, to destroy the enemy who threatens this nation or your womb. Destroy those citizens of their own country who do not conform for the sake of stability of the nation or your womb. Politicians hold many quasi-military jobs, the lowest being the police, which are simply soldiers, and then attorneys and the CPAs next, who are spies and saboteurs, and they're licensed to do it. Your CPAs have become simple conduits for turning you in, actually, to the IRS. This is an example. And they bring laws down on them if they don't qualify. Oh, you've come a long way, baby. And it ain't so good. And then you have the judges who shout orders and run the closed union military shop for whatever the market will bear. No justice, total injustice, set up by whatever the market will bear. The generals are the industrialists. The presidential level of commander-in-chief is shared by the international bankers. The people know that they have created this farce, and they know that they financed it with their own taxes, which represents consent. But they would rather knuckle under than appear to be the hypocrite. And that's where you are today. Only 40 years later. It's time for a little scare. You ought to be a little bit scared, people. You're there. And so what do we have? A nation becomes divided into two very distinct parts. A docile subnation and a political subnation. The political subnation remains attached to the docile subnation, tolerates it, and leeches its very substance until it grows strong enough to detach itself and devour its parent. And then you've got it all. So let's analyze the system a bit. In order to make meaningful computerized economic decisions about war, the primary economic flywheel, it is necessary to assign concrete logistical values to each element of the war structure, personnel and material alike. This process begins with a clear and candid description of the subsystems of such structure. So let's look at the draft as a military service. You've had a voluntary situation here for a little while, but in many ways, it has been just as efficient as would a draft. But because this was written back in 1947, we're going to discuss the draft, because they've had to find other ways to override this particular one issue, and they've done it, and they've done it remarkably well. And they can always call in the draft. This is by having all of your youngsters register and all the various and sundry little aspects offered to the youth to suck them in, not the least of which is pulling them into the CIA. Few efforts of human behavior modification are more remarkable or more effective than that of the socio-military institution known as the draft. You see, it is the mechanism, not the actual act. And you can get the mechanism going and call it anything you want. A primary purpose of a draft or other such institution is to instill, by intimidation, in the young males of a society the uncritical conviction that the government is omnipotent. And you saw it in action in Saudi Arabia, in the desert. He is soon taught that a prayer is very slow to reverse what a bullet can do in an instant. Thus, a man trained in a religious environment for 18 years of his life can, by this instrument of the government, be broken down, be purged of his fantasies and delusions in a matter of mere months. Once that conviction is instilled, all else becomes easy to instill. And you wave yellow flags, and you make heroes of them, and they will march off to their very death or to murder without batting an eye. And you run them through these testing situations until you can measure the exact amount of control you have over them. And you have total control over them. So the draft, which is a selective service, etc., not just that, you see, it is to draft into anything, is an institution of compulsory collective sacrifice and slavery devised by, why what? Well, usually the middle-aged, the elderly, and the politicians for the purpose of pressing the young men. And now women into a situation where they can be brainwashed instantly. They have torn down all the other stable foundations of the society, from the family to religious foundation, to a... I mean, what are they going into the military for these days? They volunteer in the thought that they will get a trade. Or simply to take care of themselves rather than going on welfare or being in prison. And prison is another form of welfare to the underprivileged, drug-ridden communities, such as Los Angeles, Southeast LA, where a parent would rather have the child in a prison setting than off the streets where he's bound to get killed. Well, the majority of this sort of thing comes from the father image, this warring, warrior image, this staunch, I will get my rights and I will protect you if it kills you type of attitude, this incredible, I am macho, I am man, I am God, I will decide what happens to you, and you will follow my rules because I now have the power to insist that you do so. I can even draft you into going and sending and you going off to your very death. And if you turn from the enemy fire, I have the right to kill you myself. And I can do it now with honor, without having to face my own conscience. And then you come to the factor of the mother. And when these things were written back in 1947, they are painfully obsolete this day. Everything has been accomplished in the family setting that has been desired to be accomplished. The man is absolutely stripped of his place of respect and honor. And the mother has taken on, quote, the pants of the family and moved out into the community, and she becomes the rule. And let me tell you that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And when you have lost the sensitivity and the nurturing, mothering instincts of the female who rocks that cradle, you have destroyed the world. But let's look and see what they said at that time about the factor of mother. The female element of human society is ruled by motion first and logic second. But you've mostly overcome it, you see. That is no longer true in your society. In the battle between logic and imagination, imagination will always win. Fantasy prevails, maternal instinct dominates, so that the child comes first and the future comes second. BS, no longer, precious ones. Even if a woman feels this way, she will hardly ever express it. And when she does express it, she is put down as a non-patriot, a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser, a sick mind. And she capitulates. It used to be that a woman with a newborn baby, as they say here, is too starry-eyed to give a wealthy man's cannon fodder or a cheap source of slave labor through her child. A woman must, however, be conditioned to accept the transition to reality when it comes, or sooner, you are there. It has happened. As a transition becomes more difficult to manage, the family unit must be carefully disintegrated, and state-controlled public education and state-operated child care centers must become more common and legally enforced so as to begin the detachment of the child from the mother and father at an earlier and earlier age. Tear up that family and you destroy the child. And I remind you, it only takes 3 generations. And you have 2 of them, and the ability for the 3rd in the lapsed time since 1947. and then you can go right back to Jesse Jackson and the black children, the black youth. You are into the third generation, and it's all but done. So in addition to all of these other things, you will practice inoculation of behavioral drugs, which will speed the transition for the child, and this becomes mandatory. But you better watch out, it says. Caution. A woman's impulsive anger can override her fear. An irate woman's power must never be underestimated. And her power over a, and I quote this, pussy-whipped husband must likewise never be underestimated. Because remember, it got the women the vote in 1920. These are the words of the instructor to the student. Now let's look at factor junior. The emotional pressure for self-preservation during time of war and the self-serving attitude of the common herd that have an option to avoid the battlefield. If junior can be persuaded to go, is all of the pressure finally necessary to propel Johnny off to war? This is constituted by quiet blackmailings, through threats, through intimidation, in other words, through illogical reasoning, but you see, son, no sacrifice, then no friends. And if you don't go, there'll be no glory, and neither will there be any girlfriends for you. So you can coerce him quite willingly to march off to confront this created enemy. So let's look at sister back then. It no longer holds true for sister. She marches right off to war and demands to be able to shoot someone also. But at that time, they looked at it this way. And let's see. She is given all the good things of life by her father and taught to expect the same from her future husband, regardless of the price. She expects to start out in a home the equivalent of the best that is available from that which she is accustomed to. And usually there is no young man that can provide that on his own. And therefore, he is expecting much sex. She uses that for a weapon. So you have the downfall emotionally and economically of the relationship before it can even be begun. So finally, to get around this, through the years of growth in this plan, marriage ceases to be important. Open and free sex is tolerated and promoted by the planners. Disease becomes a major part of these trial relationships. And you have no foundation. And religion offers no solution for it, no stability for it. It simply now sanctions these ill behaviors by law, saying that you must accept these deviant behaviors. And by deviant, I do not even necessarily have to mean a term like abnormal. I'm talking about a deviant from the norm of a given time. And what was normal at that time or normal in your time are two different things. In 1947, behavior as is acceptable today and demanded by law today to be approved of and sanctioned and given equal place in your society was totally abhorrent, deviant behavior at the time this plan was begun. So they have already accomplished all of their plans. And let's see how they summed it up at the end of this little portion. as a slap at you, because they knew in time it would come to be exactly according to the plan, and it has. And they say, those who will not use their brains, and that's most, are no better off than those who have no brains. And so, this mindless school of jellyfish, father, mother, son, and daughter, become useful beasts of burden unto the elite. And so shall it come to be. Now, I'm going to leave that document because that was the introductory portion. And unfortunately, whether you ones like it or do not like it, it moves right off into the manifesto and the plan for control of the world. And it is written in many ways, in many places, and it's pretty succinct. I've given it to you many times. But I'm going to run through a little bit of a refresher very, very briefly on the other side of this tape so that you can begin to compile their plan of taking control of your world. Measure it against this plan given to your surveillance intelligence crews to bring it into being and see where you are. You've had it. That's where you are. So please, I believe that we'll just turn this tape now while we're at a break point. Thank you.